child, it's the last mile you must draw. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storm rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within. Within the arms of God, He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. He's got my word in the palm of His hand. No need to fear.
Palm of His hand. He's got
Glad he's got my world in the palm of his hand. And the storm clouds may come and go. That's a given. Storm clouds are going to come and they're going to go. I was saying the other night that at the end of every night comes dawn. At the end of every winter comes spring. We've got many seasons, and the world goes through the same struggles we do, but I'm under the sheltered in the arms of God. I've got great benefits. How's that scripture go, Brother Daniels, about the benefits? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. It's wonderful benefits.
Yeah. We've got rewards too.
We got rewards and benefits.
Yeah.
You know, I was mentioning the other night that, well, let me just say right off the bat, we're glad all y'all are here this morning with us. Brother Tony Arouse is here. Hanging out. Brother David and his sister Nita Walker are here. I understand he does a little preaching herself. She does a little singing, and we want to make them welcome and feel at home, but no pressure. If you let the Lord lead you, you know, sometimes people just want to come check out what's going on without feel like they got to do something, and that's fine. But if the Lord leads you, and we've got an openness here for all God's people to work, and we like to feel after the Spirit. That's important. It's key. We feel after the Spirit. I even got a little sign up here that says, "Watch the Spirit." It's for us to watch what's the Spirit. If the Lord's leading me, leading whoever's behind here, we starting down a pathway and the Spirit's not helping us, we may need to change course. Believe in the days of Brother Sounders, they had "Watch the Spirit" up here for y'all to see, and "Watch your Spirit" for us to see. Yeah, what kind of spirit am I in? Am I in a spirit, the Lord's Spirit, or my own spirit? We have an openness here, and I am so thankful for the foundation that our leaders laid about having open services, and that we don't have a canned church service. Church in a can, brother. Oh, y'all got a car? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that's a need that they desperately needed, and the Lord provided for them. And you know what? I'm glad to see when somebody gets... You know, it's one thing to come to church when trial is tough, and you're 100% dependent on the church to, like, get you back and forth to church. but to come when you got your car... That's a blessing. I love to see that. And so I'm happy for him. Praise God. Amen. And we had brother, he's not here, he had to leave, but Brother Francisco was here this morning, and he's got a job that the only time he can be here is a Sunday morning Bible study, and he comes to Sunday morning Bible study. So I like us to pray when we take a prayer request. Y'all remind me. Let's pray for him. He gets a job where he can be, or they can change his hours or something where he can be in church more often. And so I don't even remember what I was going to say before I got off on that. Where was that, Brother Durham? The laying of the foundation of the body, but starting way back with Brother Sounders, where he left our meetings open to follow the Spirit of God. We don't have church in a can. Where you walk in, we give you a program that's laid out everything that we're going to do today. I'm not sure, but I don't believe Brother. Well, I know Brother McGowan did not have pre-planned what song we were going to play for the band song, and Sister Bryant did not know what song she was going to play before she got here before we started the song service. And but they were led of the Lord, and I really haven't had too much on my mind of what I was going to get up and say, or if I was going to be the first one to get up. I did have some things kind of going through my mind. They're going through Bible study with Brother Durham, talking, going back over the word, and talking about the soil and the Word of God and how God works within people. So I did get a few thoughts on that. I did want to go through 2 Peter 1, and but I wanted to say the Lord. He establishes his kingdom, his righteousness, in steps. He established the world in steps.
Yeah.
You know, on the first day, you know, God's created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
There's step one. You can go through and look at all the seven steps of the creation. six steps, and on the seventh day he rested. But that was a step. And, you know, we need to think about the steps. When we have somebody who comes to the altar for the first time, the Lord's dealing with their heart, take them to step one. You know, and I'm not going to go too much into, but the step one is repent. That's what Peter said. Yeah. Repent, be baptized. Mm-hmm. And you say, I receive the Holy Ghost. Yes. Sometimes we get step three before we get step two. Yeah. But step two is very, very important. Yeah. But you can't get to step two or step three until you get to step one, and that's repent. But in 2 Peter 1, we can just start reading it from the first verse. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us into the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm wanting to escape the corruption that's in this world. It's corrupt. It's more prevalent. The world's always been corrupt. But in times past in America anyway, you had to go in the seedy part of town, the dark place, to find sin. Now it's everywhere. And it's easy accessible in the home, through television and the internet. And it, just go down the street. It's easy accessible. Corruption's everywhere. And beside this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now he's talking to people who already believe. They already have faith, and they already believe. They've got the Holy Ghost. He's talking to a church here. He's talking to believers. So they already have faith. They believe Jesus Christ came, and they took steps one, two, and three. But he starts giving them other instructions, giving them some more steps. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. He's talking to church people here. Okay? Because these are people who were purged from their old sins and they forgot. Because they hadn't taken the steps. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give you diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. How about that? You know, anytime you decide to make a difference, you take, what's the word I'm looking for? Word I'm looking for is when you self-improvement. You want to improve something in your life. You want to lose weight. You have to make a commitment to do that. One good commitment is say, you know what? Someone's laid out a plan for me. I'm going to commit to do that for 90 days. Same thing if you want to get in shape. If you decide you want to, you make a goal, you want to run a 5K. Well, you better at least make a 90-day commitment to start running every day. Start from wherever you can run to where you could get run 5K to start off with. And you can work on your time or whatever. But you got to make a time commitment, a frame that you are going to do something to get there. Because you can't just say, you know what, one day I'd like to do this. And if you never set a goal and you never take the steps to become that which you desire to be, you'll never get to where you're going to go. I can't just desire to have charity. I'm putting on charity, brother. I'm going to, you know, when you're just tolerating somebody's actions and in deep inside you're just madder than a, you're just mad. What's that called? Comic simile or something like that. Make a little joke about. But that's not charity. Charity's not tolerance. It's really not. Charity is the pure love of God.
Yes.
And you can't just go from just being saved. And it seems that way because when you to having charity, but it seems that way because when you get saved, everything feels wonderful. You receive the love of God in your heart, and you receive the Holy Ghost, and boy, you feel wonderful, and you're excited. And then reality comes down to, hey, I've got an old nature that still abides here. That's going to need some disciplines. It isn't the disciplines that save you. It isn't the ones that change you, but it puts you in a mind frame and a direction to where God can lead you. God has to lead you. I don't want to take anything away from God saving you and his unmerited favor, but you have to apply some disciplines. Jesus said it, and Peter says it right here. These are things you must do. And it's kind of like going on that diet. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. We've heard that. That's truth. I don't care where it come from, who said it first, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Yeah.
You know, September the 2nd, I decided I wanted to do something about my weight. I didn't know how much weight I needed to lose. I'd been so long since I haven't been overweight. I didn't know what my ideal weight was. But I made a commitment that I was going to do something. And before long, there was 10 pounds gone. But if I'd have, and there was 15 pounds gone, and there was 20 pounds gone. But it took time. I've been eating wrong and not doing anything, exercise or anything like that for so long, a year is built up. Well, I can't, if I would just wish that one day, and that's what I did for so long, that I was going to get down to 184 pounds from 222 pounds, but never took a step to get there or made a commitment to get there and took each step of the way, then I would have failed. And Peter says, if you do these things, you shall not fall.
That's right.
And so he, I was, before I go in there, I was talking about getting your penny the other night. And how that, and the Jesus talked about the workers all day, the one who came early, he got a penny. The one who came in late got a penny, but they all got the penny. They all stuck. You've got to stick in here. You got to make a commitment. Well, I've been going to church for 15 years, and I'm just same old, you know, I ain't got anywhere. Well, shame on you. It's kind of like the guy that has a job, and he gets passed over for promotion every year. It isn't the company. It's you. You, you know, and that's something that the Lord is starting to show me, Michael. It's not the world around you that needs a change. It's you that needs a change. You're gonna. I heard somebody say this. It said, "Quit praying that your problems would go away. Pray you get better." Quit praying for your burdens to get lighter and ask the Lord to make you stronger. Quit praying all your problems and all the difficulties and challenges would go away, but the Lord would say, "Lord, give me wisdom. I need wisdom to deal with this. It's the only way I can get, I've got to improve." Some people are 60 years old and they're still 18 inside in their mind. They never grew up. They never accomplished anything. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to get better. Lord, make me better. Help me be stronger. That's one of the things that this church here, we've talked about the church growing. Lord, make us better, give us wisdom, and show us the steps that it's going to take to get this church to grow. We're going to have to get a plan of action and set a goal and start following steps, because the church isn't just going to fill up with people. We've had people come in and out of these doors every weekend, and some of them, a few stick around, but the majority don't. And I don't want to say that they're all wayside, thorny, and rocky ground. But I don't want to blame the community. I want to say, Lord, make us better. Make us be a church that when people walk in the door, they feel so welcome and so much love and so much reaching out to them that they say, man, I got to go back. I got to go back to that church. We got to have some magnetism and some gravity that either the lights, Brother Durham, the God in us, either it shines so bright that it blinds them, as Brother Durham was saying, or they said, there's something in there that I got to have. So he said, giving all diligence, verse 5, add to your faith virtue. The first step is virtue. Where'd my phone? Let's see what Webster has to say about virtue. I looked it up already, so I just want to read it to you. Moral excellence, goodness, righteousness, conformity of one's life and conduct to moral and ethical principles, uprightness, rectitude, chastity. You know, there's a commitment you got to make when you start serving God. There's things that you can't do anymore. You can't go hang out in the bars. Can't be smoking. You can't be doing, you know, impropriety, shady business deals. But you're going to have to start. I mean, there's a code of conduct that's preached from this pulpit. To conduct your life in a way that is chaste. Now, that's the step one. You got to give up the world. You can't be in the world, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You have to make a commitment. I've got to, you know what? If I want this right here, what he says, Give diligence and make your calling election sure, and you shall never fall. And verse 4, getting the great and precious promises and being partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. You've got to get out of the world. And you got to start hanging out with people who are virtuous. Quit hanging out with unvirtuous, corrupt, sinful people. Well, Jesus went to the synagogue. Yeah, but Jesus, he'd already went through all these steps. And they didn't have any effect on him. But when you go to step one, you've got to get out of the world. And then step two, knowledge. That's why it's important to attend every Bible study that we have. There's a lot of knowledge that comes forth out at the Bible study. We get a lot of knowledge that comes across this pulpit. Come to church. Learn of the Word of God. Make a commitment to read your Bible every day, even if it's only 15 minutes a day. You'll start getting some knowledge of the Scriptures. You say, well, I read this, and some man, don't sink. Just read it anyway. It's getting in there whether you realize it or not. The subconscious mind is a very, very powerful tool. That's why you also got to be careful about what you listen to, what you watch, what you let in, because it filters in whether you're really wanting it to it or not. You got to get knowledge. That's the Word of God. So you can't have it without Word of God. So you got to make a commitment. I'm getting out of the world. You know what? I don't think anybody is so dumb that they can't. You have to have that completely defined to them. But it is defined anyway. A conduct. That's why we try to address in a righteous manner. You know. When we leave out in the world, we don't, you know, we teach our people. You know, there's a certain way to dress. There's a certain way to look. There's certain places you don't go, certain things that you don't do. Well, that's virtuous. Let's and add to your knowledge temperance. Let's see what. Okay, moderation. Self-restraint in action. Habitual moderation. One definition is total abstinence from alcoholic liquors. That eliminates me. That's what. No, the only alcoholic I'm getting is the new wine. Yeah. Moderation. Are you temperate, or you just give over to anything comes over? You say, wait a minute, I've got a little self. I got to have some self control. I think that applies in every area of your life. Self control. Think about that. I know the other day, I was sick. My wife come home, and I was sick. And I didn't exercise any self-control. She got home about 5:30, and I was sat there. When you're sick, you know, when you don't feel good, you're just kind of zoned out, you know. And I went in church Sunday night. I was sick. But I came home, and I didn't want to do anything. I couldn't sleep, so I turned the TV on. I was sitting in front of that TV for 7 or 8 hours. That's not self-control. I should have done something else. But I was like, I couldn't do anything. She goes, you've been here 5 hours. You hadn't moved since I got home. I said, I don't feel like moving right now. Except maybe if I could get to the bedroom and go to bed. Self-control and eating. I'm glad the Lord has helped me, because I had a bad problem with self-control about eating. I ate to medicate. No, so you know people can do that. Do you know you can do that? You can don't feel so good. You're a little depressed. Some people don't understand this, okay? Some of you thinner people do. My wife's opposite. When she's depressed, she won't eat. She's under stress, she don't eat. She's the opposite of me. When I'm stressed out, bring on the pie. Let me go get me some Bluebell. Millennium Crunch. Or whatever I can find that would substitute the sweet tooth. So, Michael, why are you bringing that up? Because there may be somebody here who need it. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I know he may need to help you. That's not temperance. I wasn't turning to the Lord in my time of trouble. Now I'm asking the Lord to help me. Yeah, some people go from one thing to another. That's not temperance either. So I'm not eating, so I'm just going to exercise nonstop. That's not the answer either. Exercise is good. Eating's good. I got to do both. I got to do both for my body. Another, the Bible says, Paul says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Have some moderation. We've got to go above and beyond nowadays, because we've got so many things that are out there with mass production of food and all the junk that they're putting in all the food, genetically modifying our crops, making a sweetener out of sulfuric acid. You didn't know that? Do you know that's what high fructose corn syrup has in it? You don't believe me, we'll go on YouTube and watch how they make it. They got some guys who made it. Made a sweetener out of it. It's in everything, just about everything you eat. You got to go through the label and see. So we're getting poisoned every day. And if you want to stay healthy, you've got to be diligent about how and what you eat. But you got to be diligent in your spiritual. And I say that. Because you're putting all these things in your body, and this is just this is free. I'm not charging for this one. Little free info. All these chemicals that your body has to process affects your mind. And if something affects your mind, it affects the way you serve God. That's why Paul said, no, you're not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Of course, he was dealing with you can do inwardly with food or with habitual practices. You know, you can get in habits. Back then they had a very, very difficult time with fornication, because all the Gentile churches were in a society that they had just come out of, that some of the churches and some of the towns had temples, pagan temples that had prostitutes in them. And Paul was telling them that, hey, you're defiling your temple by committing fornication. So there's many ways you can defile your temple. But I'm glad I've got something that'll purge my temple spiritually, the good Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Into temperance, patience. Man, all these hit me because I'm not a very patient person. I want charity and I want it now. I want the divine nature today. Lord's telling you, I'm trying to get you there. You got to go through the steps. Noah had to build the ark. Moses had to cross the Red Sea, and the children of Israel had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And then, when they went into Canaan, They had to march around Jericho 7 times. They had to defeat all the ites before they could have the land. Patience. Waiting on God. That is so hard to do, especially when you don't know what exactly you're waiting for or why you're in this position you're in. Sometimes the Lord will say, put you right here. Lord, why am I here and where am I going and what do you want out? Where are we going? I'm not going to tell you right now. Patience. I know Nethaniah sitting over there. I can't take him today and go put him in 12th grade and him do very well. Matter of fact, he'd be sitting there scratching his head when they put trigonometry in front of him and say, okay, we got a pop quiz, we're going to do some trigonometry. He'd be like, man, I hadn't even figured out subtraction good yet and how to borrow. Much less what all the, I didn't even figure the numbers part out yet. What are you doing with all these letters? He's got to get up to the point to algebra. He's not even ready for algebra. He's got to get through algebra, geometry, algebra 2, calculus, right? Then trig. Trig's 4 calculus. Brother Matt, he's good in math. Now, he did real good in school. He knows. I didn't make it that far. I think I took algebra 1, geometry, algebra 2, and then I took a business math course or something. I didn't do very good at it. I knew I wasn't going to be an engineer. But Matt was going to be an engineer. I remember he was going to go to engineering school, so he was focused on that math. Matter of fact, Brother Matt's real good at all that math, and I could take Nethaniah to him and say, explain him trigonometry, and he'll never get it. He could spend 3 or 4 days with him trying to explain. No, he can't do it because he's got to go all the way back and get his basics. He's got to get adding and subtraction down, then fractions or multiplication and division and long division, then fractions and decimals. He's got to get all word problems. You gotta know word problems before you can do algebra, because that's kind of the basics of algebra. You gotta, okay, here's what the deal is, and I've got to figure out where the equation is in it. Like, I'll give you one to think about. Oh, I can't remember. It was a riddle. It was one of something about how to get 3 gallons or something. But anyway, but patience to godliness. We're getting close in the steps. Anybody got a good definition of godliness? Aware, Brother Durham, just defined it. I couldn't define it any better. Aware of God in all areas of your life. This just happened to me. We taught this heavily years and years ago. Something happens, where is God in it? God's in this. Where is he at in my life right now? Is this God dealing with me? Is this God or is this happen chance? I need to know. We're seeking these answers. That's godliness. We're aware. And then brotherly kindness. You're reaching out and putting others before you. You're reaching out to your brother. You see a need, and it crosses with your needs and wants. See, it's something. It's good. It's a good thing that I do something for you, one of you here, when it doesn't cross my schedule, doesn't cross what I want to do. That's still good. That's okay. You know, I come over and do something for you, Brother Durham, and it didn't in conflict with anything that I was going to do. But it's another thing when I have to sacrifice to do it. That's brotherly kindness. I have to sacrifice my time, maybe my money, maybe both, or something I wanted to do, which is time. Cancel my plans. To do something for you. That's brotherly kindness. Give till it hurts, and that doesn't always mean out of your wallet. I think it was Zig Ziglar says, he said, if you'll help enough people get what they want, you can have everything that you want and more. Well, a lot of people try to break that a natural application of a monetary thing. That's what most people think. If they're thinking that, they're thinking wrong. But if I want everything, if my heart's desire is righteousness and these promises, and if I help enough people get what they desire from God, I go out of my way to help them. I give till it hurts to his people or to whoever God asked me to give to, then he'll give me my heart's desires. And that is to escape this corruptible world of lust. By this point, that should be your only desire. And then charity. And charity is when you're willing to die for your Lord, Savior, and your brothers and your sisters. And even those who hate you and despitefully use you. You love them so much that you would give their life for them. Yeah. That's charity. Because that's the love of God personified. Yeah. Jesus did it on the cross for you and I. And that's the steps I want to take. You know, I'm not willing to die for y'all today. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not there. I don't know that I'm willing to suffer like they suffered in the back then. I haven't been through the steps, but that's where he's taken me. But you know what? I have to have diligence to go through each step. Hopefully I've gotten through some of these steps. Hopefully I'm virtuous. And in the areas that I'm not virtuous, I need to be more diligent in. Hopefully, I've applied quite a bit of knowledge. I've read my Bible quite a bit. I've come to all the Bible studies. I come to listen to the Word of God. I'm being tempered. I'm starting to learn patience. I'm starting to realize, be aware of what God's doing in my life. These other areas, brotherly kindness, I haven't got it yet. Not to the point I need to. Not enough. I'm not enough in any of these areas. I need to put more diligence. That's our goal. If you haven't been in church for very long, you haven't been serving the Lord very long, remember these steps. Go over them. Hey, I want to be partaker of God's divine nature. I've got it working inside me, the Holy Ghost. He's living and dwelling inside me through the Holy Ghost. But there's another guy that gets in the way, and he needs to be disciplined. So you can abound. How many want to abound today in the Lord? How many want to be a partaker of the divine nature? How many of you want to escape the world and its corruption? Let's be diligent. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wanted to take up the prayer request. Our pastor's gone and down in South Florida. I don't know if they're... Are they having a meeting down there? I'm not sure. They're having a meeting down there in... Fort Lauderdale area, Miami. I'm not sure which church it is. We've got so many of them down there. Yeah, it's mostly the Haitian American churches. down in that area and from New York come down and converge and have a meeting. So let's pray for them. They have a safe trip home. They're in their motorhome, and they've been working on it quite a bit, and I think they got just about everything fixed in it. Want to pray for. Can't remember who I had on my mind. Maybe it'll come back to me. Any other prayer request, Brother D'Angelo?
God as well. God blessed us, as you know, with a car, and which is great. And we were able to order our birth certificates, so I can finally get me a good job. And I'm just very excited to see what God has in store for me in the future, because I know it's good things. I'd like to ask that you continue to keep us in your prayers as we continue to keep you guys in ours. And don't forget to pray for
Brother Francisco.
Yes, and that he can, even if it's one Sunday a month or a week, yes, you're only get one a week, but that'd be good, you know. That's about it. I don't have too much else to say.
We pray for you, get you, Lord provide you with a good job.
Yes, amen to that.
And then how about housing too? All right. Well, we got to step. You got a car to get him to work now. Now he just needs a job.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. That's right.
One step for 1,000 miles, right?
That's right. Amen. You're on your way. Amen. He's on his way. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Elsie. Pray for Sister Elsie Ratliff's family and her daughter, Brenda. She's got a back that's she's had surgery on. We need to pray for Sister Rice. Lisa? Okay, Lord would heal her ears. They'll keep praying for you. Brother Stewart. Brother Fleming. Let's pray for Brother Fleming. Let's pray for Brother Stan. Brother Kyle needs prayer. They bizarre story. They had a baby, and Sister Oates can tell you all about that story because that's too long for me to tell. But he needs her, him and his, are they, is it a fiance or just girlfriend or girlfriend? Yeah, they're a family now. They need her prayers. I mean, they just had this kind of an unexpected thing happen to them, and I know I would need prayers and would appreciate prayers, and so let's pray for them. Somebody else? The Weavers, Brother Shelby, Brother Ron, Brother Ray Weaver, and Susan. Let's keep praying for them, that they could get back on the journey with us. That they were calling in. They call in often to ask prayer for them, but they've kind of stepped off the highway and got sidelined, derailed for a little bit. But I know to get back on, all you got to do is make some steps, get back on track, and there you are. You're back in the journey. Sister Fisher. Pray for Sister Linda and Brother Ray. He's going in tomorrow about chemo, and you know, the Lord, there's decisions she has to make, but the difference is the Lord. And I was studying this. I was trying to really help Sister Linda and not trying to interfere, but just try to encourage. And I was talking to Brother Bryant yesterday And he was, I wasn't here when Sister Dolores went through her cancer. And if I get this right, they had to remove part and get into your liver too. Is that right? No, Brother Brian, you told me wrong. Top part of the liver? That, if I read on that, that's stage four. If you have to go when it moves to the liver. And if any time cancer moves from colon cancer moves to the liver, the life expectancy of that person is only 10%. That was 20 years ago. Is that right? 93, 17 years ago. God's hand was on her. He made the difference. God, I believe God healed you and touched you. And I believe that brother God can touch Brother Ray. And the percentages and everything that the doctors and the medical society says his chances are can be thrown out the window if we put our trust in God and believe God can have a miracle in his life. So Sister Elsie was on the deathbed and called in the family and said, this woman's going to die. Get your funeral arrangements together and bring the family in. And that was when? 92, 18 years ago. And she's still kicking. And Al's shins are sore from all the kicking she's doing.
But his wife come over here when she had no hope left and asked for prayer. And immediately when she got back over there, he was away and asked her, where you been?
So we know we have a healing God we can put our trust in and believe in. When things are, when things look impossible, when clouds, the skies are gray and it's storming over our heads, we have a God that we can call on that's a miracle God that can touch our lives and our hearts and our bodies in every situation when it doesn't look like that our situation is dire. We have God that we can turn to. Hallelujah. Brother Nethaniah. He said he needs prayer because he needs to feel better. Well, we'll pray for you, Brother Neth. Brother and Sister Dodson. Let's pray. Keep praying for him. Brother Mark. Okay. The Boyd, Brother Boyd's family's homesick with flu. The Jerry York. Jerry's homesick. Sister Sandra with him? Is she here? Oh, okay. Praise God. Sister. Okay. Sister Wilkins' family.
Pray for Brittany's dad, Mark Henderson.
Okay.
His mother just passed away, and she was really kind of the key that held their family together. And so now he was adopted, so there could be a lot of things that perspire now that his biological, both of his biological parents, his adopted family's gone. And he's really, it seems like he's really open-minded to the Lord at this point in his life. So pray that he looks to us as spiritual people and really sees the Lord working in Brittany's life and has. So let's pray that we can be a light to him.
Okay. Let's pray for Mark Henderson. All right. Sister Abraham. Oh, she's not here. I was looking. I thought she, you know, usually she sits right back there. When somebody says Sister Abraham, look back to see her. She's not here. Let's pray for Sister Abraham. She's not here today. Has anybody heard from her? Ah, she's coming in the door. So the Lord knew. Praise God. All right, let's. Oh, Sister Norman. Mighty God, hallelujah.
Thank you all, and I thank the Lord.
Sarah. Okay. By the way, that reminds me that there will be no Wednesday night service this week. Just a reminder of that. Sister Jerry. Okay, with Grandpa. Yes, Brother Jerry, we mentioned him. Sister Durham. The Durham boys, they've gotten off the highway, and the ones that aren't in church have got off the highway, and we need to get them back. She wants to pray that they start their journey again, and work toward getting the precious promises. Right now there's been enough mercy laid up for them, but she's saying, God, get after them. So let's all stand and pray. The ushers come and take the offering up, too. We'll pray over it. Hallelujah. Y'all help me remember some of these prayer requests. You remember some, and I'll remember some. We'll get them all prayed for. Dear Lord, dear Jesus, we thank you today, Heavenly Father, for your goodness, your good word of God, your plan of salvation that you've set for us. Lord, we're putting all our trust in you for all of our needs, Lord, whether it be physical, spiritual, and natural. Oh, God, we have so many here that are sick, Lord. We've got chemotherapy coming from Brother Ray, Lord. We ask you to guide the family in their decisions and the doctor and help them, Lord. But we know more than anything, Lord, we need you. Oh, God, touch each and every one here that we've brought their name up before for a physical illness, Lord. And we ask you to go in and cover and touch these bodies, Lord. Oh, God, the ones who need jobs, Lord. Every need that's discouraged and aren't coming to church, Lord. Lord, your children that are out here in the world, that we ask you, Lord, to just send a spirit, your spirit, and deal with their heart, Lord. Turn their world upside down where they turn their heart once back to you, Lord, that they can see and open their eyes. Oh, God, they appreciate your wonderful goodness and truth. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we're putting our trust in you. Hallelujah. Bless each and every one here that gives in the offering, Lord. Lord, we ask you to touch each one here. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah.
He's just worked miracles for me time and time again, and I've always been so thankful for that. And as y'all know, I've got two boys out of church, away from God, and at different times I've asked prayer requests for them. Well, I guess it's been a couple months ago.